Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio West, your show for all things kayak fishing in Oregon, Washington, California, and beyond. Now, here's your host, Isaac the Nothing Miller.
Hey folks, this is Isaac the Nothing Miller. I'm on the phone right now, Salt Lake City, Utah, host city for Outdoor Retailer 2011. I thought I found a quiet spot to give you all a call and get you on the show, but it started raining outside. Thunder, lightning, the works happens every night, summertime in Salt Lake City. So had to move inside. It got a little bit louder than it was before. So any background noise, I do apologize. Unfortunately, there's not a whole lot I can do about it. Like I said, this is Kayak Fishing Radio West. Thanks for joining in. I am in Salt Lake City, and kind of crazy being here. I haven't been here in 10 years, but here I am. Hopefully you're listening in, kayakfishingradio.com. On our website, you can find links to our Facebook page and our Twitter page. It's got all the latest up-to-date information on Kayak Fishing Radio for all the Kayak Fishing Radio shows. We've got a bunch of them now. I'm still waiting for tonight's guest to call in. I should have Ron Sauber from Drownswell Kayak Fishing. Oh, hey, now there's background music. Sweet. But Ron's the only Oregon State Marine Board certified kayak fishing guide in the state of Oregon. It'd be great to get him on the show, hear about his guide service here in Oregon. Well, over in Oregon, where I normally would be. In the meantime, until he gets on, he said, I'm in Salt Lake City for Outdoor Retailer. Now, this is the biggest, greatest, awesomest show for outdoor sports. And I'm going to step outside here, and hopefully I can find some quiet. But, you know, we've got everyone in the kayak is here right now. We've got Hobie, Ocean Kayak, Wilderness Systems, KC Kayaks, Diablo Paddle Sports is here. We have everyone. So there's a lot of great new kayaks. Of course, in the last couple of days, we've had, in the last few weeks, we've had a lot of announcements of new kayaks. I've helped bring the first information of the new Hobie Revo 11, which is a killer kayak. And, yeah, outside's not a whole lot better. Also, their paddle, their 11-foot Hobie Quest. What else did we have? Ocean Kayaks introduced a couple of new kayaks in the last few days, or last few weeks, namely the Tetra, 10-foot and 12-foot, both of them excellent sizes. If you're fishing small water, they should be great, and you should be able to get around really well with those kayaks. Like I said, Jackson Kayaks is here. Of course, they're the manufacturer of the Coosa. Drew Gregory brought that kayak out, I think it was about a year ago. It's been a hit, especially in small rivers throughout the Midwest. Killer bass fishing boat. It's nice and tall and very stable. He's got a couple new boats coming out. We have the Big Tuna and the Kuna. The Kuda, as in Barracuda. Now, I'm assuming these are going to be real nice boats, bigger than the Coosa. Probably definitely going to be longer than the Coosa, and more appropriate for larger rivers, larger lakes, and saltwater use. I mean, you can't have a boat called, Big Tuna on a place that doesn't have big water. I know Necky has a few new kayaks coming out. Unknown if there are any more sit-on-tops. Of course, they make a phenomenal, I think, 13.5-foot sit-on-top. Don't recall the name of it off the top of my head, but it is a great-looking boat. There's always the chance that Hobie's going to come out with something new. It's hard to say. There's a lot of people that are anticipating a small pro angler. It might happen this week. It's hard to say. We also, who else is here? KC Kayak is here. They might have something new. It's been a while since we've seen anything from them. We've got a lot of killer opportunities this weekend. Of course, tomorrow is pretty kind of the kickoff event for Outdoor Retailer. It's an on-site demo at a lake outside of Salt Lake City. All the kayak manufacturers will be there with brand new kayaks. First chance to get them on the water, try them out. You know, what better way to get a full review of how good a new kayak might be than to actually get it on the water and try it out. You can find, I'll keep yakangler.com all up to date, day to day, probably several times a day. Also, follow me on Twitter, the_nothing, or on Facebook. Same thing, facebook.com/the_nothing. I'm going to be broadcasting live video, if at all possible, from the lake. And that's going to be the best way to really find out what's going on. Because, you know, I could be sitting on the boat, on the lake, broadcasting live video, and I can give you all my thoughts right then and there of the new kayak while I'm on the water. You know, that's going to be a good time. Of course, you know, I'll be I'm sure I'll be guesting in on a couple of the other kayak fishing radio shows this week. That way I can get on the other shows, give you guys, you listeners, another update on what I'm finding this year at Outdoor Retailer. Lots of good stuff coming. I know there's at least one new dry suit on the market this year. I don't remember from whom. It's a good question, but it is coming. I'll have that up there. There's tons of great stuff. It's really kind of hard to tell you what's not going to be good. Check up on the switchboard here. Want to make sure Zoom's looking good. And I'm still waiting for Ron to call in. And it's entirely possible that's not going to happen. That's what I get for finding a pub in Utah. You know, especially when you get a huge event like Outdoor Retailer, which is the largest event for outdoor goods. I mean, this is a trade show much like ICAST was, but this is just, like I said, kayak manufacturers and the like. So it's going to be killer time. There's as far as paddle sports alone, just kayaking and canoeing, there are over 300 manufacturers being represented this week at Outdoor Retailer. So that's huge news. What else do we have? I think the final number was somewhere around 340. And that's just huge. So can't go wrong with that. And that includes, you know, dry suit manufacturers, wetsuit manufacturers, dry bag manufacturers, paddle manufacturers. You name it. They're all here, and they're all bringing the goods. Just like I said, just like ICAST, this is for outdoor sports. So there's a lot of other things here. There's a lot of mountain biking, hiking, that type of equipment here, stuff that you might not necessarily put in with kayak fishing. I'll be checking a couple of them out, but for the most part, I'm just going to be looking at things such as kayaks, paddles, new PFDs. You know, I'll be getting a second look at some kayaks that I've already seen, like the new Hobies. I'll be checking in with the guys at NRS, checking out their inflatable again, because I know that's going to be here. So it's going to be a good time. Hey, it looks like we might have Ron on the phone. Here we go. Hey, this is Isaac on Kayak Fishing Radio West. Is this Ron?
Yeah, this is Ron. Hi, Isaac.
Hey, Ron, how's it going?
Very good. Sorry, I think there was a little trouble with me getting through. I was calling, and I was getting a busy signal, and then third time's a charm.
Okay.
So.
There we go. Awesome. I've got a problem, I don't know if you heard, with background noise. I am in Salt Lake City.
Oh, wow.
I was kind of unsure until yesterday afternoon and drove down here this morning. I'm here for Outdoor Retailer.
Wow. That's a long drive.
It's a long drive, but, I mean, something like Outdoor Retailer, it's very much worth it. So I mentioned earlier for all the everyone listening in, I'll do the introduction again. This is Ron Salver, correct?
Yep.
Make sure I get that pronunciation right. Groundswell Kayak Fishing, the only certified kayak fishing guide in Oregon, right?
Yeah, as of now.
As of now. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. There's a couple shops that do offer fishing on their tours, you know, to the San Juans and other places. But as far as a standalone licensed fishing guide, similar to many of the powerboat guides you have in the Northwest for salmon and sturgeon, steelhead, I'm the only one that I know of.
That's awesome. Now, for folks that don't know you, I know you're an Oregon native. You've been fishing.
Yeah, third generation. I've been here my entire life.
Awesome.
Grew up on the Willamette River. I had a boat down behind the house before I had a driver's license. So I've been fishing quite a while in the Northwest for predominantly salmon, steelhead, sturgeon, offshore stuff. A little bit of warm water stuff, but you know the Northwest isn't really the ground zero for that kind of fishing.
Go fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That's awesome. So and you Groundswell's been up now since this last spring, right?
Yeah, this last spring, we've been up and running, and I've done about I think 8 trips so far. So we're just getting our feet wet, or I shouldn't say I'm just getting my feet wet. So it's just me, and I'm really looking forward to the fall fisheries for salmon and stuff because I think that'll be a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we're now in August, so that spells buoy 10. And
yep, kicked off today.
They're talking over a million fish coming through. 750,000, give or take, Chinook. I don't even know what the count is on the coho, but I know the coho count is huge. Plus all the steelheads that come through at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, I'm really hopeful. It's from what I've heard, it's going to be a good Chinook year. And the steelhead or the coho numbers are actually down a little bit from last year. About 100,000 less, but you know when fishing's good down there, fishing's good, and you know what the difference between 175,000 or you know 225,000 is, you know, irrelevant when there are a bunch of them underneath your boat. So
that's great. So,
looking forward to it.
Great. So we got buoy 10 right now, and you do some saltwater fishing, right?
Yeah, I do a lot of saltwater fishing. I've gone all my trips this year, with the exception of two. The guided trips have been in the salt. And no halibut trips because we reached our quota, so that was kind of a bummer. I was hoping to get some people out to do that. And then personally, I really like the saltwater fishing. It's you never know what you're going to run into out there, and they do eat really well. And it's a good way to get away from, you know, it's never a crowded fishery. So it's I really like that part of it.
Great. It's a great deal you got going on. So are you going to be primarily focusing August on buoy 10, or are you going to be doing buoy 10 and saltwater, depending on conditions?
Yeah. As the conditions dictate, I mean, if the ocean is going to be great, like the next couple days, I'm actually going to go out and I'll be out in the ocean fishing for bottom fish. One of the first bays on the Oregon coast to really start putting out fish is Nehalem Bay. I haven't fished it yet, but that's generally where I start out my salmon kayak season, and then move north up to buoy 10 when that really starts rocking in about. I'd say in about a week and a half is when I'll make my first trip,
right on.
Or maybe even less than a week. I guess it's the first part of August, so we're almost there. And then once buoy 10 starts to slow down and Tillamook starts to pick up, I'll shift down south to Tillamook Bay and fish there. So
cool. Again, sorry about the background noise. I'm trying to avoid it as much as possible, but sometimes it's unavoidable.
I can hear you loud and clear. No problem on my end. So
that's good to hear. So, give us a rundown on what an average day fishing is on a guided kayak fishing trip. I know that's not a very common thing in our waters, so I'm curious to know what that would be like.
Yeah, for sure. Let's just say a salmon trip out of buoy 10. Prior to going, I'd chat with the client and let them know what's expected of them, what they need to bring. I provide all immersion protection, all new Kokatat bibs and splash tops And everybody fishes out of brand new Hobie Outbacks that are all with turbo fin, sailing rudder, and all that kind of stuff. And then, of course, I provide all gear and bait. So basically, you have to show up with a sack lunch and some water and or, you know, pop or whatever, and you know, a strong set of legs, because it can be a long day. Right. And then we'll launch, and I like to troll spinners at Buoy 10. I do fish herring, but I'm anticipating with clients of varied abilities that spinners will be a lot easier for folks to fish. And depending where we fish, it's either on the bottom, trolling the bottom contours, or in the water column, and that's just kind of location dependent. And troll till you get lucky.
There you go, yeah.
And that's pretty much it. Generally, start early and fish as long as we can. So I'm not opposed to fishing from early till late afternoon if conditions allow.
There you go. That's great. Well, you know, hopefully you just go out and limit out real quick and call her done, right?
Yeah, you never know. That can happen at Buoy 10. I've had fishing out of my powerboat. I've had days where you barely get a chance to have fun and you're done. And, you know, I would love to do that on the kayak as well, but I think a big part of it for that fishery is it's a pretty cool spot. It's bigger water. It's nice and scenic. You know, you got the Astoria Bridge, town of Astoria, and all the different wildlife and you know, birds and all the stuff down there. And just being out there among hundreds of other boats is pretty exciting. So, you know, hopefully,
that it is.
You know,
I
wouldn't
showing up at a boat show.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't mind quick limits, but then I also would like people to have enough time to get out there and enjoy themselves. And, you know, kayak fishing is generally a nice weather sport, so it's, you know, we're not out there grinding it in the mid squalls or anything. So,
Are you going to be doing any do you do any crabbing on those trips as well, or you strictly fishing?
I don't think on those trips, just because of the places where you can crab at in the Buoy 10 fishery are not necessarily near where you would want to be fishing. And in a powerboat, it's no problem because you can fire up the motor and zip over there in 10 minutes. But in a kayak, you're kind of limited to your range. So I think if, you know, if someone requested it and they understood that they may not be in the prime fishing game the entire day, but if they wanted to take home a potential mixed bag, you know, it's not something I would turn down or say no to, but ideally they'll just be fishing trips.
Right. That makes perfect sense. I totally forgot about the distances that have to be covered sometimes. So.
And some of the other bays, Tillamook, Nestucca, Nehalem Bay, those bays, crab/salmon trips could be totally doable because often the clamming or the crabbing areas are just, you know, a few hundred yards off of the trolling channel, and that's no problem.
Excellent. I'm kind of thinking about trying out Tillamook Bay again this year. I spent quite a bit of time last year and didn't have a whole lot of luck over and over and over again. you know, it's still worth a shot. You know, I know they're already seeing Chinook show up down in the Rogue, the lower Rogue. They're already showing up.
Sure.
So,
yeah,
know,
there's been Chinook. Yeah, there's been Chinook caught in Nehalem Bay as recently as last week. So it's the kickoff has started. So
excellent.
It'll only get better through November is pretty much when it starts to wind down. So
yeah. Now you're fishing year round, right?
I'll be offering trips year round. Obviously, in the winter, the kayak fishing opportunities kind of thin out. You know, if we get a good weather window on the ocean, you know, that's totally doable anytime the conditions allow. And I'll, like I said, I'll probably be doing salmon trips on the Tillamook Estuary rivers with bobber and egg up in tidewater, and those generally run all the way till. Mid to end of November, depending on river levels and things like that. I look forward. I've done that fishing personally, you know, privately by myself. I haven't run any trips like that, but I think people would really like that. You're on very small water, fishing for very big fish with a bobber. So it's very fulfilling in 8 feet of water when a 35-pound fish pulls your bobber under and you're sitting in a kayak. So hopefully I'll get some people interested in those trips for sure.
Oh, man, you got me jonesing now. That's a fishery I have not yet tapped that you know, those lower estuary waters like that. Something I've always looked at and always thought about. Haven't taken the time to go out and do it. Most of the time when that time of year, you know, November, I'm sitting on the Willamette sturgeon fishing.
Right.
You know, or, you know, depending on what's going on.
Yeah, for sure. And the kayaks are really ideally suited for those lower tidewater. They're still tidally influenced, so at times there can be relatively strong current, but other times it can be completely flat, calm water, and they allow you to move in, you know, relative stealth mode and access some water that you can get to with a normal-sized jet sled and everything, but you can just get there so much quieter and less hassle, so they're really well-suited for that.
That's excellent. Of course, there's wonderful wildlife throughout those waters also. So
yeah, there's great bird
great
watching. Yeah, it's and if you like cows, Tillamook has plenty of those, and luckily now they're keeping them out of the water for the most part, but you can definitely see some slow elk on the bank while you're salmon fishing, you know.
That's pretty cool. That's really cool. Now, your website is groundswellkayakfishing.com, right?
Correct.
And now tell me about the name Groundswell. Where did that come from? Tell me about that.
Well, I was bouncing around some ideas for names and, you know, in I don't know what you'd call it, oceanic terms. A groundswell is a large wave, you know, like a tsunami is a type of groundswell. And then groundswell in the context of, you know, let's say politics or something is a, you know, large uprising and change of attitude of the general populace. And I kind of thought that applied to kayak fishing with people moving more towards human-powered conveyances and the whole idea of everybody, you know, moving in that direction.
Excellent. That's
kind of a double meaning.
Yeah, that is great. Now you supply a Hobie Outback, and
correct.
What do you fish from on these trips? Same thing, or?
Well, it depends on the trip. In the ocean, I've been fishing out of my Hobie Adventure. I really like the Adventure for fishing in the salt, just because it's. I have it set up as my saltwater boat, and do really like the hull and everything for moving through the swells and things like that. For the tidewater bay trips, I'm basically set up for no more than two people on a trip, just so I can take care of folks and give them the one-on-one that they need. So far, I've only run trips that have been one-on-one. I haven't done any two-on-one trips, and in trips like that in tidewater, I'll probably be using the Outback also, unless I have two people, and then I'd use the Adventure. I really like the Outback on. It works great for trolling, and I mean you've seen some of that in action there on the Willamette. Those Outbacks those guys are really putting those to good use, trolling for salmon, and they're stable, and you know you're not punching through waves or anything like that. So it's just a great platform.
Like you pointed out, it is a very stable platform, you know, especially for somebody that may not be accustomed to kayak fishing, might be out there for
that's
the first
what
time.
That was my intent when I purchased the Outbacks. I mean, I love the Hobies. They're the bee's knees for trolling, hands-free fishing, and especially trolling spinners in shallow water when you need to check for weeds and all that kind of stuff, and I wanted something that was really stable. So if Joe Public, who's never been on a kayak in their life, wanted to try it out, as long as they didn't do anything crazy, they wouldn't fall out and they'd feel safe. And I think the Outback really does that.
That's great. You know, it's funny that, you know, yeah, it's a great kayak. I still don't have a Hobie. You asked me about that last time I saw you out Springer fishing, why I don't have a Hobie yet. Still don't have an answer.
Yeah, I have
a real good answer.
My first kayak was a Cobra Fish and Dive I bought off Craigslist, and I paddled that big beast around for a while, and then I had Bryce Mullenkamp down from he's a Hobie regional pro, and I had him down to Tillamook for a day of salmon fishing, and we got into some fish, and I just watched him effortlessly pursue a fish that was giving him a hard time, and troll in the wind and answer his phone and have a Snicker bar all the while his gear was fishing. And every time I put my paddle down, my kayak would stop. And when I stopped, I stopped fishing. And that right there was probably not the last time I used my fish and dive, but that was the nail that just walked me into a dealership and got me a Hobie.
That makes perfect sense. Good opportunity. Do you have any sponsors? Are you sponsored with anybody, or are you just doing
not really. I've Slay Ride Kayak Fishing. I'm a member of their pro staff, and then I work really closely with Next Adventure. I'm not a member of the fishing team or anything like that, but they've helped me out in a number of ways, and I try to help them out by referring people. It's amazing how many people hop in one of those Mirage Drive kayaks, and they're instantly sold, and so I try to refer folks down that direction because, you know, great people down there, and they work really hard to help people find what they need, and they were really really helpful with me when I was starting my business. So, but not any real sponsors in particular.
Yeah, great. Yeah, no, good point. You know, Next Adventure, they are some awesome folks. I love them. The only ones in town that are helping cater to the kayak fishing market. There's a lot of rigging gear down there that we'd otherwise have to buy online. We can, quell our instant gratification needs just by swinging in there instead of having to wait on the internet to catch up. So,
yes, for sure. And I had a little a hiccup with one of my Mirage drives. I was using it a little too hard, and sent him an email. Part came in the mail. Done deal. Didn't no questions, nothing. So, and they handled all the hassle of talking to the main Hobie people and everything. So, can't ask for more than that.
Right. So, sounds like you're all set up. Sounds great. What's your favorite fishery that we have? I know you love to do saltwater. You love to chase salmon around. Given any day of the year, what would you prefer to be doing?
This time of the year?
Any time of the year.
Oh, any time of the year. Well, that's like asking someone which kid they love the most. I guess I really enjoy winter steelhead fishing, and I don't really do a lot of that out of the kayak, just because a lot of the places I fish aren't suited for the kayak just based on the water. But I also I really enjoy the saltwater. So that's probably in the top three would probably be out in the saltwater fishing for pretty much anything. I love that, just the experience, the waves, the swells. Critters you run into out there, it's definitely, you never know what to expect. I love trolling for salmon in the tidewater bays or bobber fishing for them, those big salmon on the small kayaks. It's always really scenic, those Oregon coast bays are just amazing. For the most part, they're completely undeveloped. So a lot of times, short of maybe a barn on the horizon, you feel like you're, it's not exactly Alaska, but you feel like you're out there somewhere special. And and then I do like steelhead fishing, like I said, is probably number three. Springer fishing, I do a ton of that, but I live right next to the Willamette River, so that's almost like my backyard. Yeah, that's hard to pass up. And but it's not as special as some of those other places, I think, just because I've done it so much. So my favorite time of the year is coming up. The coastal salmon season is something I look forward to.
Well, I might have to hit you up for some fishing out there because I've got two things. One, I suck at coastal salmon fishing, and I've never been on a Hobie. So
yeah, we'll have to get you out on the water.
We'll definitely have to give that a try. Hey, Ron, thank you very much for being on the show. I appreciate it a lot. Like I said, I'm down in Salt Lake. I'm getting all sorts of kind of confused. My surroundings are not quite right. But thanks for being on the show. I appreciate it very much. Once again, for everyone else that's listening, website address is groundswellkayakfishing.com. Do you have a phone number also that we can give out?
If they just look on the website, it's right there.
Excellent. That'll work.
Cool.
So, Ron,
well, thanks
for
having me.
I appreciate it quite a bit.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Everyone, thanks for listening. Kayak Fishing Radio West, part of the Kayak Fishing Radio network of shows. We're on 4 days a week still. We have I don't have all my notes in front of me. My laptop's dead. I'm out of town. Monday night, we've got Mark Wheeler's show for the Atlantic side. That's what time is that? 5 o'clock Pacific time. Makes it 8 o'clock Eastern. Rob A. Bad Backcastavor is on Tuesdays right before my show. 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern. Let's see. Tomorrow's Wednesday. No, wait. Monday's Redfish Chub. That's right. That's the Florida show on Monday. Same time that I gave Wednesday's Mark Wheeler show for the Atlantic. Thursday, 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern is Chip Gibson's original kayak fishing radio show. The great roundtable discussion with folks all across the U.S. Dennis Spike from California is on that show quite a bit. Always entertaining. Get some great information on the fishing down in California. Of course, he's been kayak fishing for almost 20 years now. So he's a great resource to have. And check out all those shows. And like I said, you can find all that information on kayakfishingradio.com. This is Isaac the Nothing Builder. Thank you, everyone, for listening in tonight. Talk to you later.